Welcome to the All-Star Missions Podcast. My name is Peggy Nunley, and I'm the president of All-Star Missions. And I am so excited that you are here today. All-Star is a discipleship ministry, and we specialize in everything discipleship and everything missions. We love doing Jesus ministry in every nation, tribe, and tongue. And my prayer today is that you are blessed by today's discussion. Hey everyone, I'm so excited to be back with you with today's episode of Mentorship in Messes. And I'm so excited that I have got Sabrina Miller, and she is our new Director of Women's Ministry. Sabrina, I'm so glad you're with us today.
Thank you for having me, Peggy. I love talking about mentorship.
Well, and I just love the opportunity that we've had to just continue talking about mentorship, to really kind of breathe life into this subject. And so I just want to kick it off today with we're talking about mentorship in messes. And so let's just start with the very first question. What happens when you get offended with your mentor?
Well, Peggy, you know, that's the great place to start in any relationship. It's making a willful decision that what I'm getting ready to step into is going to produce change. So let's think about the purpose of mentoring. I need some help. I'm not walking in the way I want to walk in my discipleship. So I reach out for a mentor. Can you help me with these troubled spots? Remember the difference in discipleship and mentoring.
Right.
In discipleship, we're giving them basic teachings. We're teaching them how to study the word. But in mentoring, that's like a lifestyle, walking it out. So I'm already struggling. So I'm probably already got my guard up, and I'm going to be offended if you give me direction. Mm-hmm. So I think what we have to decide is your leadership to me, is that direction or is it rejection?
That's good. So it really comes back to this personal issue that when you come to the table, that you decide right up front, I'm just not going to be offended.
Exactly. It's a choice.
It is a choice. And it's this place of, I've come here to learn. I've come here to lean in, to grow in relationship. And relationships can be messy, right?
Very, very messy.
And that's how mentorship is, because you're taking someone that is a little further along, and you're asking them to speak into a season of your life that you're just not there yet.
Right. And many times it's not your rebellion, it's ignorance. You know, it's like a simple illustration is, maybe you've never made a chocolate cake from scratch. And if you just stand there and try to do that watching YouTube, that's one way. But if you've got a friend standing there that, you know, their specialty is chocolate cake, and they show you, oh, you need to soften the butter this way, not that way, you can make that beautiful chocolate cake because they're leading you through the process. And then you don't need them later. But if you're offended in the way that they do it, you're not going to change. And you're just going to have a dull chocolate cake.
That's good. And so we're kind of talking about this on this particular question, that's kind of in a healthy relationship, right?
Very
You've got a healthy
so.
Mentor, you're a mentee, but that's just kind of positioning your heart right. So when we talk about mentorship in messes, there are some situations, and I've heard some stories of, well, you know, I asked someone to be my mentor, and then they just never showed up to meet with me. You know, I asked this person to be my mentor, and, you know, when I went to meet with them, I kind of questioned their counsel. So let's talk about just a little bit of some of those types of things. How do you handle as a mentee when you have a mentor, someone that you obviously respect, someone that you've kind of watched their life, because you wouldn't just ask anyone to be your mentor.
Right, right.
It's somebody that you're looking at saying, man, that's somebody that's doing life in a way that I could see myself doing life that way. And I want to be like them. And so what happens when this person that you respect, this person that you want to lean into, let's say that they're not consistent. What is your response as a mentee to a situation like that?
Well, obviously, the first thing we want to do is we want to go to prayer with it. But I think it helps when you get ready to pick your mentor to maybe outline three specific areas that you really feel they need to be consistent in. So you're going to major on the major, which is your points, and minor on the minor. Let's say that they come late all the time. That's not going to work for you, because maybe your area that you need help in is the discipline of time. So if you can determine before you start, what are the majors? Now, there's going to be some disappointment in all mentorship, right, Peggy?
Right.
Our mentors are always going to disappoint us, because from the outside, they look perfect. And then as we start walking with them, we can see the flaws. But if it's such a overriding character flaw that you discover, then through prayer, you probably are going to need to change to someone else. And you can thank them for the experience and then just be real open with them and tell them you just don't feel like it fits you, because mentoring does need to have a connection.
Right. I would agree with you. And I do think it's really important that you, whoever you're asking to mentor, to pour into your life, that you really look at your schedules. You know, availability is a really big piece in mentorship.
Yes.
And to know that if you've got somebody, maybe they're just like changing the world and you're looking at them saying, man, I want to be like them. But the reality is that mentor should have the wisdom to say, I just don't have the time to invest right now. And if they don't have the wisdom to say that, maybe they really want to do it and they're really trying, but as a mentee, you really need that consistency, then, you know, I agree. I think you need to look at that even before you step into that relationship. Is this something where you have time and availability to be able to meet? So, all right, so let's just kind of address that other question I kind of brought up a second ago. What if you discover that as you're meeting with your mentor, you're listening to the advice that they're giving you, the counsel that they're giving you, and just in your gut, you have some questions with it, and you're really beginning to see that, you know, maybe the counsel they're giving isn't wise.
Well, we go back to the Word of God every time, right? The Word and prayer, those are going to be our two foundational blocks that we can return to. So let's just say that a principle they're instilling in you, your spirit is at war with. Well, number one, we go into prayer. Holy Spirit, why am I feeling that this is not truth? And you know, mentoring and discipleship, none of that should be cultish in its style.
Right.
We never take away the mentee's ability to hear God and to learn from God. So that's a big mess you can be in. So if you've got that check in you, then you have to find out through the Word, study the Word, is this a major? Is this something that you have to come back and talk about? Or is this just a difference in, like an example might be tattooing. You could be 30 and your mentor's 55 and her opinion on that may be different than yours. Is that a good example?
No, I think so. And that may not be a deal breaker. That
right.
may just
it be something.
It can be
something small.
Right. And I would also encourage the mentee to maybe seek some counsel.
Absolutely. And who do you think would be good to get that counsel from?
Well, I think that if there is another, you know, maybe your pastor, maybe if there's another lady in the church that you respect, and maybe even without using your mentor's name, and just kind of give a scenario, you know. You know, sometimes it's just good to talk it out with someone else.
Yes.
And to kind of say, hey, you know, I've received this counsel, but, you know, the Bible actually says that, you know, there is wisdom in a multitude of counsel.
Yes,
and
true.
So, you know, sometimes when I think of mentorship, you know, sometimes we think that that's just one person. Mm-hmm. But you can actually have multiple people mentoring you in areas. And if there is a character conflict, then that's something you want to be very cautious of. Now, I want to flip the tables on that just for a second. And let's say that it's not the mentee now, but it's the mentor that's talking to the mentee, and the mentee just doesn't take the advice. So the mentee is counseling, the mentor is counseling the mentee, sharing her opinions and really the wisdom that she has. But it seems as though every time she's giving her time, she's counseling with the mentee's just not doing what she says, or it's just not that she has to, it's not an obey relationship, but the mentee really isn't stewarding.
Right.
The time that she's having with the mentor. What would you say to the mentor in that situation?
Well, and I hate to sound like a broken record, but when I'm mentoring, and I've mentored many, many, many women, I have to go back to prayer about this. Lord, this one that has asked for me to mentor them is not a student. They are not learning. They're not teachable. And it's a very difficult concept as a Christian to learn to say no in that area. But if you can really lose your way because you've got four or five women you're working with that are not bearing fruit. So it's the fruit-bearing principle of it, right?
Right.
Now I have to also weigh that with the patience that God has had with me. And so at my age, I'm 65, so I've been mentored for years and years and years, and I can look back to how patient my mentors have been with me. So I look at examples, but if you're new at it, find someone older than you that you can call up and say, hey, have you had this situation? Because my mentee is, they're in conflict with me. I'm spending all my time debating instead of being able to lead.
No, I think that's good. And I think that's something that I look for is anyone that would ask me to mentor them. Probably one of the first things I look for is, are they teachable?
Yes.
And because if they're not teachable, then it's not going to be a good, healthy relationship anyways.
Right.
And I recognize that, you know, when I'm mentoring someone, that they're taking counsel from me. So it's not that they're asking me to solve their problems. They're not asking me to tell them what to do.
Exactly.
It's not a relationship like that. But if I'm going to invest time and I'm going to invest energy and they're wanting my counsel, then I would expect that, you know, that they would take that counsel and put it to use.
Right.
And then if they're just not in that place, then I might, as a mentor, ask the question, is this a valuable use of the time that God has given me?
Yes, and remember that some women who ask for mentoring really just want a friend. So I don't think we should close the door on that relationship. I have not. What I've done is moved out of mentorship into friendship. Hey, let's get coffee. Let's just visit. And then I know not to be pressing. You know, when you're the mentor, you are kind of pressing in. You're like, where do you want to see change? How can I help you with that change? But if she's not willing to do that, then I'm going to move her into the friendship realm.
No, I think that's good. That's good. I think that's some wise counsel there. So let me ask you this now. So let's say that, and again, you know, I'm just trying to pose questions that are situational.
Sure.
And questions that I think both of us have heard over the years as people have come to us and said, well, how do you mentor? What does it look like? What happens when it gets messy? And, you know, one of the questions I've been asked is, so what if I'm just not connecting with my mentor? Or the mentor saying, I'm just not connecting with my mentee. It's because I do believe there should be some type of organic connection. There should be this place of where your spirits just kind of leap and you feel like you're kind of on the same wavelength. Just that, and I think God does that in those relationships. I think it makes it, mentorship shouldn't be hard.
Right.
It should be more natural. It should flow. So what would you say to someone, whether a mentor or a mentee, that is struggling with just connection?
Right. Well, let me give the example. Excuse me. I know your daughters haven't gone through the teenage years yet, but right now you're pretty close to your little girls. Mm-hmm. But there'll be seasons as they mature and grow that they won't feel quite as close, right? Because they're mm-hmm. rejecting the teaching and the truth. You love them from afar. So again, it's still the principle of, should this just be a friend or should I continue the mentorship?
No, I think you're right. I think that sometimes we overestimate what the relationship should look like.
Exactly.
Or we try to formalize it.
Yes.
You know, we try to make it more discipleship. Well, right. I'm expecting them to teach me something. And really, there should be a flavor of friendship in it.
Absolutely.
But there should be also this flavor of respect
right.
and honor that you're looking to this person saying, I really want to grow from what I see them walking and the wisdom that they have.
And when we meet a failure in mentorship, Peggy, don't you think that most of the time it means we need to step back into discipleship? Maybe we're just not quite ready for that step.
Right. No, and I think that brings us kind of to our next question is, so what happens if we discover our mentors in sin?
Right.
I mean, that is messy.
Yes, that
you know,
is. That,
let's say you've walked a long time with this person, and then now you've discovered, wow, they're in sin, and you didn't know that. And so how do you kind of recover from that, or how do you address that?
Well, if you're the mentee and you discover that your mentor is in sin, even though you may be younger in the Lord and you may not feel as qualified, it would still be God's desire for you to lovingly expose that to them first,
right.
to them, and then move out of your mentee relationship into friendship. How can I pray for you? I don't feel like right now that this is the season for you to be mentoring me. And I do not believe I'm called to mentor you, but how can I pray for you in the season that you're in? But again, that has to be done in love.
No, I would agree with you. And I think maybe even, you know, offering to find some other women that could come around
yes,
her
yes,
and that
support.
Could love on her, encourage her. You know, the thing that we do know is that all of us are not without sin.
Amen.
And so you can
have struggle.
You can have the greatest mentor, and you know, we all come level at the foot of the cross. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important to remember that even with your mentor, that number one, if it's something minor that obviously they recognize, they repent of, you know, it may not necessarily jeopardize that mentor relationship. But if it's something serious and they need other women to come around her, and maybe she needs to step away from some things,
right.
Then I think, you know, what you said is accurate. You know, we need to lovingly hold them accountable because they are our sister in right. Christ.
And then as the mentee, don't forget, we don't want to be disillusioned with the failure we just found or discovered. That's like quitting the church because there was sin in the church. Mm. So as you just pointed out, we're all saved by grace. Yes. So I really want to encourage that mentee to find a different mentor. And there may be another season in their life when they can go back to the one that's in brokenness right now.
No, that's good. And I think that's really valuable, because I think sometimes when we get wounded, we put up walls.
Yes.
And we decide, you know what, that's not safe anymore.
Yes.
And the truth is, that would be the exact thing the enemy would want.
Yes.
He would want for you to quit. Yes. Or he would want for you to never seek that vulnerable relationship again.
Right.
And honestly, I think it is just really recognizing that we all need the gospel.
Yes.
And none of us are above sin.
Yes.
And when we do fail, I think that can be a lesson for us on how do we love others. But that's also a good lesson for us, that as we, you know, we may be being mentored, but we should be mentoring others.
Absolutely.
And so we should take that and recognize the severity and the damage that if we open ourselves up to sin,
yes.
what that can do to those that we are pouring our lives into.
Yes.
So here's another messy question. You know, what if you were to find out that your mentor was sharing your confidential information?
Well, I've actually had this happen to me as the mentor, that I shared something and the mentee came to me. It was very broken, and it was very, very difficult for me to recognize that I had failed her. It was unintentional. It was just one of those everyday slip-ups. I shared it with someone just in visiting, and they shared it, and it gets back to the mentee.
Oh, wow.
So as the mentor, my job was to humble myself before her and ask for her forgiveness, and to share that my motive was not to, quote, tell her story, that I was irresponsible with what she shared with me, and that I would like for her to forgive me. And then I gave her my vow, if you would, that I'm seeking God in that area, because this is one of the most valuable pieces of having a mentor.
Mm.
You can tell them anything and know that it's going to be safe. Now, as the mentee, you would just need to see if God's giving you the grace. In my situation, there was a lot of grace, and actually more began to be shared because there was vulnerability that came through my failure, like you said earlier. So we don't want to just make this all about never making a mistake. But if she should repeat that, or if the Spirit of God tells you she's not trustworthy, then you should not continue with her, because you're sharing your heart, and these things are hard to share, and you don't want them towed until you're ready to share.
Right. And you know, and I think it's also important to point out, you know, when you're meeting with a mentor, it's not like meeting with a counselor.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, we have certain expectations that when we meet with a counselor, that, you know, that kind of HIPAA-protected information.
Yes.
But when you're meeting with a mentor, it's life on life.
Yes.
You know, this person is not necessarily a professional in the sense of, you know, that they're meeting with you. You want to have confidence in your conversations with them. But they're not a professional counselor.
Right.
And so you might get into some messy stuff in what you're sharing. And you want to, I would say as the mentee, that I would probably share with my mentor, I'm going to share something with you that I would prefer that it not leave this room, and that it's not something that you would ask to be shared with other people. I think it's really clear to maybe even establish those boundaries as you're having maybe
right.
hard conversations,
right.
because if you don't, I think like you innocently shared something, not intending to hurt her, not
right.
intending to damage the relationship, maybe not even realizing how confidential that was to that person.
Right.
And but I love your response. I love that you say, well, as the mentee, it's our responsibility first to humble ourselves, yeah. you know, to model, would you please forgive me?
Yes.
I'm not perfect. And I want to earn your trust again.
Yes.
And I will honor the things that you say to me.
Yes.
I think it's really important that we model that. But I think it's also important the expectations we put on the relationship, that they're realistic expectations.
Yes. You're not hiring a superhero.
Right.
And we live in that society of perfection. You're asking a sister in Christ who's had the experience that you need, can I walk along with you for a while? And so there's going to be messes, Peggy. It's impossible to walk with someone and not have messes.
I agree. I think life is just messy.
It's messy.
It's messy. Marriage is messy.
Yes, it is.
Family is messy.
Yes.
Church is messy. Yes. Ministry is messy. You know, being in the workplace is messy. We live in a fallen world,
yes.
and so those messes track us every day. So here's another question. Let's say that you have found a woman, and let's say she doesn't go to your church. You're not, you have watched her. You really respect her. She has the character of someone that you really feel like, man, I want to learn from this person. But as you get deeper into the mentorship, you realize that your theology is a little bit different. And maybe some of that theology is just too different. What would you recommend to that mentee?
Well, depending on the maturity of the mentee, it can be healthy to be able to spiritually debate, because sometimes we think we believe something, and then when we walk with someone who believes a little different, it will cause us to go back and dig. So I remember, I've had so many mentors in my life, female mentors, but I remember walking with one that, like, they didn't believe on just different doctrinal things, not salvation, not the important things, but just maybe how you should dress and relationships. And I wasn't like where they were. And then I talked to another older woman. I'm like, I don't really believe like her. And she said, don't you see how that God is deepening your convictions as you're sharing? Now, if you're real new in Christ and you're not solid about what you believe, and now you have an issue, then you don't want to continue with them.
Right. And I think this is the difference between discipleship and mentorship.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely.
Is that if you're still just trying to get your handles on the gospel,
you go back to discipleship.
Right. You go back to discipleship. I feel like that, you know, when I look around the different women that have influenced my life, I can learn from every one of them.
Yes.
You know, I can even learn from women that actually aren't born again.
Exactly.
I can look at their leadership skills.
Yes.
I can look at, you know, the way that they present themselves. You know, I've taken counsel from women that, you know, I knew that maybe they didn't have an intimate relationship with Jesus now. Am I going to take my most intimate counsel from women like that? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But there's always something for me to learn. Mm-hmm. And so I do think that if we're talking mentorship, I think you need to ask yourself the question, is this a game breaker?
Right.
You know, is this someone that, you know, I don't want to pattern this because
right.
their convictions, you know, I don't want that influencing my life there because I really strongly disagree with it. And I would say doctrinal issues, that might be a game breaker.
Right. And character flaws, Peggy, that would be a game breaker. And particularly if you've had an addictive nature, you know, before Christ or early in your walk, you want to surround yourself with a mentor who's pretty hardcore in that area.
I agree.
Right?
Yeah. No, I think that's good. So what happens then when, you know, you just brought up addiction, and that definitely is something that I've seen a lot with a lot of the women that I have mentored, that they have struggled with addiction in a lot of different forms. What happens when you're going to your mentor and you've got an issue and they just can't help you with it, that it's kind of outside their realm of ability to speak into?
Well, a healthy mentor will recognize, and as a mentor who has been mentoring for 30 years, I have a couple of go-tos, right? Mm-hmm. So if there's an area that my mentee is really struggling in, and I can think of a couple that I have not experienced, I can love them and I can encourage them, but I've not been in that ditch. Mm-hmm. So I will encourage them. And just recently, I even had to go with my mentee to her new mentor because she was afraid and she had tied herself to me. She didn't know this new lady. She had known me. So we can be examples as the mentor to say, well, I'll go with you the first time. But we don't have to experience the sin addiction that our mentees have. We don't. There's many, many godly women who are mentoring who have not been in addiction. So we don't always want to think, well, I have to have, let's say you're trying to overcome drugs, well, I have to have someone who's overcome drugs. No.
Right.
But that mentor might want to be drawing from another lady. How do I help her?
No, I think that's good, and I really do believe that it isn't a game breaker in the relationship that your mentor maybe can't counsel you through that particular issue.
Exactly.
Because I think that we can, again, have multiple mentors in
yes.
our life.
Yes.
And I love what you said, is that a wise mentor will recognize this is outside of what I can help you with.
Yes.
But a good mentor will say, let me introduce you to someone that can speak into this area of your life. And I think that is the role of a mentor, is to say, listen, I can't answer all of your questions. I can't help you with every area, but I love you and I care for you and I want to speak into your life and I want to help you. And so I'm going to surround you with resources that will be able to help you navigate whatever you're facing.
Yes.
So what happens then when... And this is, I've been asked this several times, is when you outgrow your mentor, when you've come to this place that you've been meeting for quite a while and, you know, you love them, you're in deep relationship with them, but you've just begin to notice that you're continuing to grow, but your mentor isn't actually seeking continued growth.
Well, most of the time, that means it's time for you to mentor. And with your mentor, you don't leave the relationship. It begins friendship. So now you don't want to look to them in the ways that you have. But if you've had several mentors like you've referred to, and I do, I have about 10 or 15 year old, I mean, they're older than me, 10 or 15 years older, especially in relationship with Christ and mentorship, that I can call when I'm struggling. So that relationship is permanent, just like our relationship. Yes, I mentored you 25, 30 years ago, but we're friends. And I do believe that if you're becoming discontent with your mentor, it's time for you now to mentor. And like you said earlier, you don't have to be 4 miles ahead of them.
Right.
You just have to have a willing heart.
No, I agree with you there. And so the question is, do you outgrow your mentor? I think you can,
yes.
But you never abandon relationship.
No, friendship is for life.
Friendship is for life. I agree with that. So let me ask this question then is, you know, here we've addressed a lot of different kind of messy things with mentorship. And so what happens then when we get into this place that, you know, you're meeting with your mentor, and let's say that it moves into this, it begins to get unhealthy. If we can just talk about that for a minute, because I think when I look at, you know, a lot of times the women that I'm mentoring, I'm really hoping that they're healthy spiritually, and I look for that. But a lot of times I get some ladies that they've got some real stronghold issues. They've got some deeply rooted things that in our mentorship relationship, I'm trying to help them overcome. I'm trying to help them kind of break free of some areas. And so what happens when you begin to notice that there's codependency beginning to develop in that relationship?
Well, Peggy, that is a wonderful, wonderful point, because this young lady we're trying to help, now we're going to break her heart because we can't be everything she needs. So it's fully the mentor's responsibility to maintain the health of the relationship. So we have to constantly bring ourselves into account with, am I needing anything from my mentee? We want to be sure we don't open up ourselves to have this need whereby, like, for example, maybe you're texting them more than you should, or you're calling them more than you should, trying to maintain that you can only feed so many. You know, a lot of people are burned out at my age because they did it so many women at once and they just drowned in it. But I also believe that it's identifying some clear boundaries. If you could set the boundaries with your mentee when you begin, I don't want to be your mother, and I don't want to be your best friend. I want to be your friend. But my job is not to produce little Peggy's and little Sabrina's, clones. My job is to keep leading them to Jesus. And that's why it's such a serious and holy thing to be a mentor. You have to keep going back to the cross and saying, Lord, how am I doing? And let him adjust you in it. Codependency is everywhere. Women are very broken, Peggy. And most of the time they're broken by men. I don't mean that in a negative.
Right.
And then women, we're lovers. We're sensitive. And so it's just so much easier for them to draw from us. So if you've got that healthy boundary, like with their husband, you know, many times you'll say to them, to your mentee, have you shared with your husband? What is your husband saying? well, I don't really care what he has to say. So then we just keep coming back to those root issues and establishing clearly in your mind as the mentor, what is healthy mentorship?
No, I love that. And so what are some questions then that the mentee should be asking, the mentor should be asking before they even establish that relationship? I think it's really important to, you know, as you look toward this, because I think that, you know, it's just kind of a catchphrase, right? That, you know, everybody has a mentor, that you need a mentor. You know, in the business world, mentorship is kind of the thing to have. And sometimes I don't know that some of the ladies that maybe I'm around understand the gravity of responsibility with it, but also how much that it's not just something you do, but it really is something that is going to enhance your life. But it's gonna make you uncomfortable at times. And, you know, I love what you said is, you know, if they're married, asking them, have you shared this with your husband? Because, you know, the mentor should never get in a place of where their spouse should be.
Exactly.
I mean, they should always be affirming that first relationship, that young lady goes back to her husband and shares with him that she's vulnerable with him first.
Yes, always. And then maybe if she has a mother. You know, most of the time in mentoring, the child issues do come up, or the brokenness in the marriage. So it's an opportunity for us to bring healing in those relationships. First of all, the husband, and then maybe a mom, maybe sisters. I think one of the most important pieces of being the mentor is showing healthy female relationship. That's what mentorship should be rooted in, which is in Christ, obviously. But then into the real life, living it out. What is it like? Because I've had a lot of my mentees be offended with me because there's so many now. How do you maintain those relationships? So that's where I learned that I was putting too much into the relationship, and then I couldn't maintain it when it was over. So I've made big adjustments. Number one, in not mentoring more than about three at once, because I'm not going to be effective. And then talking to others like you and I discuss, is it time for me to be moving away from this relationship? Is this person needing too much from me? So here's a real good question you can ask as the mentor. Are they emotionally dependent upon me instead of Christ? And then seeking the Lord for direction, and usually from our own life experience, we had feelings like that. How do we direct them back to Jesus, their husband, their mother, their sisters, by dealing with those root issues?
So really the essence of what I hear you saying, as we talk about, you know, mentorship in messes and, you know, all the different situations that come up, and you know, we could probably go on with about 20 or 30 more situations that just can be messy in mentorship. But the reality is, the mentor, number one, takes the responsibility.
Yes.
To seek the
Every
Lord.
Time.
You know, that they are the ones that look at this and say, okay, number one, is this a relationship that I can invest in and it be healthy? Yes. Is this a relationship that I can establish healthy boundaries in? And is this a woman that I feel like that I can speak into her life? And then asking the Holy Spirit to help you with, you know, when things are outside of your realm of being able to counsel, gathering resources. But it really is a dependent upon the Holy Spirit lifestyle that the mentor walks in order to be able to pour into the younger woman.
Right.
So I just want to thank you guys for listening today. I know that we didn't hit all the issues of messes in mentorship, but I really pray that as you've listened to this, that number one, that if you don't have a mentor, that you begin asking the Holy Spirit to put a woman in your life that will begin to speak into those areas that, honestly, you probably just need to grow up in, areas that you need to observe and see modeled from an older woman. And also to pray that God would put women in your life that you could also speak into. Because whatever season you're in, there's somebody that's a little further, and there's somebody that probably needs to hear about what you're experiencing in your season.
Yes.
So God bless you, and thank you for listening today.